Chef Boyardee is Poe's mentor.
At that point, it was always going to be Leia.
Could have been Baby Yoda.
Wow, what a huge oversight. There's just a hole in the Death Star. Like, what the heck? You know, just like board that up or something, you know?
Then jumped onto Wikipedia. I was like, oh, there it is.
I've refused to get on the Wook, as Jared lovingly refers to it.
You're listening to the Star Wars Archives, a Youtini.com Patreon-exclusive podcast. Your regular deep dive down the rabbit hole of the Star Wars universe. Discussion, analysis, Easter eggs, and obscure books you've never heard of. And now here are your hosts, Jose and Trevor.
Hello there, you have tuned into episode 84. Five of the Star Wars Archives, the Youtini Network podcast where we take, guess what, a random Star Wars topic and explain the living band that put it out of it. I am Jose, aka Joxy in the Youtiniverse, and joining me today is someone who has been stored away in a cavern somewhere, Bice, and he's been there for a long time, and then we went there, we took him out, and now he's here with us to talk about Star Wars. It is Mr. Trevor Davey.
Hi, I'm Trev, keeper of the timeline pages over at Youtini.com. I've spent my entire life consuming Star Wars media, and I've read over a thousand Star Wars books and comics. And it never fails to surprise me. Literally 30 seconds ago, I was listening to Jose go, what am I going to say in my bit?
Yeah.
And he just comes up with that, and it's pure gold.
Well, I mean, you know, when you were stored away in that cavern, that's how you were able to read over 1,000 pieces of Star Wars, like, books and media, right? I mean, I'm sure that's how you had the time.
Exactly, yeah. It was lonely in this mountainous cavern.
Yeah, so why were you in a mountain, Trev, today? Or for the time, what mountain are we talking about? Because that's today's topic, right, Trev? I mean, you know, we're going...
Yes. To celebrate the release of The Bad Batch Season 3 next week, although not next week when you're hearing this, because you'll have seen 4 episodes by then, but we are going to talk about Mount Tantiss.
Yes. I had no idea why you wanted to talk about Mount Tantiss until you said we should, and then I'm like, oh yeah. I had to look it up, and then I realized, oh yes, there's some legends... story about it, but I'm still kind of curious about how this is going to be a full episode, Trev, because as far as canon goes, there's not a lot about it other than the fact that it's just like it's a mountain and it has something inside.
And you could be forgiven for not even realizing it was in canon, but because we've seen it in The Bad Batch, we've seen it in 5-6 episodes now. Mm-hmm. But it's never named.
Mm-hmm.
It's never named as Mount Tantiss. The planet is never named as Wayland. But it is. It's there. It's straight from Legends.
Yeah.
But you'd only know that if you read the episode guide or, you know, you interact with Star Wars nerds online.
Yeah. So I guess so. Today we'll explore Mount Tantiss for a little bit. And just because we're assuming that given the fact that we saw it once in season one. We saw it a handful of times in the second season. So we assume that it'll be a bigger part of the story in this last season of The Bad Batch. You guys might now know, because you're listening to this after the season started, you might know more about Mount Tantiss. You might know if it already blew up. I don't know. but so it's a little bit of guesswork in here. We just want to... talk about it to let you know that it was dug out of the archives of the Legends archives. It was brought into canon. There's some relevancy to it, and perhaps it doesn't mean anything anymore because it doesn't exist. But hey, we think that it'll be more relevant this last season. It might not be. We'll see. Is that fair, Trev?
So,
right? Like,
yes.
That's a fair assessment.
So we're going to start with kind of recapping what we do know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna go through a couple of episodes where it's played a part, see what clues they give us, and then we'll talk about its history and legends and see what clues that might give us as to where this storyline is going to go.
Yeah, and I guess then at the end, do we summarize? We'll summarize it a little bit to see what we think is going to happen, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll make some guesses, see what we think it's going to be.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Sounds good enough. That sounds like that'll be an hour of podcasting or something. We'll make it happen. Yes. We typically do. So, all right. So, before we go on, you know, just let's just gotta thank all the people supporting us through their Patreon subscriptions or getting merch. So, you know, hey, if you wanna help us out as well, go get your Star Wars inspired merch on utini.com/merch, and also go to patreon.com/utini. And when you become a member, not only do you get access to all of our episodes in advance, so that way this, or whatever we're talking about today, might make more sense if it's earlier in the season, perhaps, than like two weeks after. It's not that much of a wait, but hey, it's kind of fun to have it all ahead of time anyways. But yeah, you get access to the episodes in advance, and you also get a bunch of other Utini member exclusives. So go do that. Right? Yes.
Yes,
okay.
Do that.
okay, now on to the main show segment. Trev, when do we first hear about Mount Tantus and this subject that you said we could talk about for an hour?
Okay, so like I said, let's recap what we know from the Bad Batch. So the first time that we really see it is at the end of Kamino Lost from the second series. Second season. See, we talked about seasons and series
first,
before we start.
It's the finale of the first season. Episode 16.
Okay. So, season 1, episode 16, Kamino Lost. Topoka City is obviously destroyed. There's the whole shenanigans between Crosshair and Omega and the rest of the Bad Batch. But Crosshair leaves the Bad Batch. Mm-hmm. And also we see Nala Say, one of the Kaminoan scientist, is brought to an Imperial facility on Mount Tantus. So straight away, this is all we know, is that there's an Imperial facility there.
Yes.
And they brought a Kaminoan scientist.
And this, they never, like you said, they never mentioned this being Mount Tantus on the episode itself. We just see the base, but it was on StarWars.com, the episode guide or whatever, right? That's where they call it Mount Tantus.
Yes, on the planet Wayland.
Yes, which, you know, if you hadn't read any Legends, it would mean nothing to you. You're like, okay, cool, that's a new place. But
absolutely, yeah.
If you had, then you would know that it's like, okay, that means something. And I guess we'll get into that after this,
yeah,
right?
So we know there's a massive mountain on the planet Wayland, mm-hmm. and there's an Imperial facility in it.
Yep, and that's it. So yes. So that's that's the end of the first season. And if you don't remember any of this, I don't blame you. This aired on August 13th of 2021. So it's been quite a while since we were introduced to an unnamed Mount Tantus. But as we said in the intro, that season 2 we've gone back to it a handful of times. So Trev, what is the second time that we visit this mountain?
Okay, so season 2, episode 11, Metamorphosis. So essentially, a transport bound for Mount Tantus ends up stranded. Sid assigns the Bad Batch to recover its cargo, but its cargo is a baby Zillow beast. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The
kaiju
Godzilla thing from the Clone Wars? Kaiju, yeah. That's the word I was looking for. So while the Bad Batch are fighting it, an Imperial Strike Force is sent out to get it and basically snap up all the witnesses. So nobody knows, nobody can talk about what they saw. And Lama Su, so remember Lama Su, that's the Kaminoan from Attack of the Clones that says to Obi-Wan Kenobi, I hope you enjoy your Jedi army. also brought to Mount Tantus to persuade Nala Say to cooperate. So does this mean he's working with the Imperials?
I don't know.
And they also talk about Omega a little mm-hmm. bit.
So at this point, so Nala Say, because you got to remind me a little bit of what's going on too, Trev. So it seems like Nala Say is not then, she's just not cooperating with the with the Imperials. So the Imperials, as far as we know,
yeah. I mean, they did just blow up her home.
So they blow up
and
her
their
home.
Employer.
They're basically, and they set up some other cloning facility. Or do we even know if this is a? We don't know any. Like, we assume that there's something.
We don't. Yeah, we don't know.
Right. So she's brought to a facility. They blew up the place where they can make clones, and that's all we know at this point.
Yes.
And I guess Lamassu, he is trying to tell her, hey, you got to help out the Imperials make clones. So that's why I'm like, so they're perhaps trying to establish a cloning facility in this base.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember whether it's specified or whether it's just hinted at that they're actually cloning Zillow beasts at this facility.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but that's it. That's that's the second time. Then then on the next episode we see the same base again on the second season. I mean, again, just not a lot really happens. This is the episode where Crosshair like goes out on a mission and he kind of doesn't follow orders or something, right? And then he is just basically brought back to that same base, like as a prisoner.
He's
now.
He's based in Mount Tantus. Yeah,
yeah.
So kind of, you know, we know that they've got prison cells there. Yeah. You know, so it's obviously a multifunctional facility.
Yes. So possibly some cloning, and it's some sort of prison place. Just a base is all we know at this point. Then we don't hear. We don't go to Mount Tantus in the. In episode 13, then we go back to it on the 14th episode of season 2. And what happened there?
So this is where Crosshair's getting interrogated. Dr. Hemlock wants to know where the Bad Batch are, specifically Omega. Crosshair manages to escape and sends a warning, but he's captured again. Through this message, the Bad Batch then learn about the existence of the Empire's secret advanced science division, based in Mount Tantus.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, I guess they mentioned it there, or no?
Yes. Yeah, so now we know that it's a facility where they do science.
Yes.
And they've got
some science
cloners and prisoners. Right.
And then we take a pause from Mount Tantus for one episode, and then we go back for the finale called Plan 99, so cleverly called because of, you know, just 66, Order 66, flip the numbers over, you get 99. I assume that's why they called it Plan 99. That's the last episode of the season. And what happens there?
And we get the big cliffhanger at the end. So Omega is captured. She's brought to Mount Tantus. But the scientist there, Emery Carr, she reveals herself to be also a clone, like Omega, and technically her genetic sister.
And technically sister to the Bad Batch, and technically all of them being clones of Jango Fett, so they're all Fetts.
But what we haven't learned, or what we don't know at this point, is why the Empire is so interested in Omega.
Right. So if Emery Carr is the same as Omega,
and we'd never even seen female clones before.
Right. But Emery Carr is older than Omega. Omega seems to be more like a Boba Fett female, where she is aging at a
possibly
normal
altered clone.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, that's what I'm like. So that's all we've seen about Mount Tantus. It's just a base. It's just a location. And as far as we know, I mean, what else is there? I mean, even the planet Wayland. What is that? What's happening in this planet? I don't know.
So, okay. So let's go to Legends now. Let's try and fill in some of these gaps, because we know they've taken it from Legends. We know they've taken inspiration. They won't have just picked this planet and this facility at random. Somebody somewhere knew exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try and fill in the dots. Now, Jose, we know you read the Thrawn trilogy last year.
Yes.
So you must remember some of this.
Possibly.
So Wayland and Mount Tantus was first introduced in Heir to the Empire in 1991.
Yes.
it's the base that Joris Sebowath, the Mad Jedi clone, mm-hmm. was guarding. It had all the cloning cylinders that Thrawn used to, you know, grow his officers that manned all of his Star Destroyers.
Yes.
It's where the Luke clone was born.
Luke.
It's where the big fight happens mm-hmm. at the end. So yes, got a real history with regards to cloning.
Yeah, well, and then so it. Whoa, I'm kind of jumping all over the place right now because my mind was just jumping all over the place with the possibilities about what this means. Now that we've also, of course, seen Thrawn in the Ahsoka TV series, right? So
yep.
there's all this potential connections of why they might be bringing this more and more to life in the Bad Batch. Is this where you were going? Is this where you were trying to get me to, Trev? To kind of like realize on air, I'm like, oh, wait, there's a reason why we're talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, we know they like leaving these little breadcrumbs there. Yeah. We know that they're doing this much more connected storytelling. And I knew that it was a possibility that Thrawn is going to be aware of this facility. And yes, I wanted to see how quickly you would make that connection.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously the connection, the direct connection to what it was in Legends. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. So it showed up in there. So it's a big warehouse. Fine. They did clones there. Fine. But it wasn't until like, wait, hold up. Because now that we've seen, because we have seen Thrawn, and because there's so much more potential now about what can be happening moving forward in Star Wars, like, I guess, Disney Plus TV, like, storytelling. But there's
because we still don't know. We know that he had zombie stormtroopers,
right?
But we don't know if they were zombie clone stormtroopers.
Well, he was stuck in that other galaxy, whatever thing, right? So he wouldn't have been in Wayland making them.
True, but we don't know what he left with.
Oh.
Because the thing about in Legends as well is that Thrawn was one of the only people who knew about the existence of Mount Tantus. Mm. So, again, let's give it some background. So, like we briefly touched upon, so this was the Emperor's storehouse.
Yes.
This is where he kept all his secret plans. This is where he kept all his Sith artifacts
yes.
and Jedi stuff. And Thrawn's one of the only people who knew about it.
Yeah.
So that could still be the same in canon. I mean, in Legends, Thrawn came back after being away for a long time.
So,
and then used Mount Tantus to repopulate
right,
the Stormtroopers.
Right. So, I mean, basically, whatever we see in this season of the Bad Batch happening, possibly in Mount Tantus, where, you know, is going to be extremely relevant to Thrawn's plans moving forward now that he's back.
Very possible.
Right? So that finale, I mean, there's going to be some sort of cliffhanger at the end of this last season of the Bad Batch. And then it's going to basically be a time jump of like, whatever, 30, how many years? You're the...
Well, I mean, so obviously the difference in context is that knowledge of Wayland was lost when the Emperor dies
right.
in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
You know, we've still got all that to go to. So they've still got another 20 years to play with Mount Tantus.
Right. But if, what if Omega is just, like, trapped in Mount Tantus for, like, 20-some years? She could be brought back in live action.
So one of the plot points in the Thrawn trilogy is that there was a guardian of Mount Tantus. You know, I can't remember whether it was a Force-sensitive guardian, but it was an unnamed guardian. And Sebowath went and killed this guardian to then assume control over it.
Yes.
Under sort of Thrawn's instruction. Now, this is where I do what I do. So obviously we've got the Thrawn trilogy. You get a lot of this information from that. But if you pick up the Thrawn Trilogy source books from West End Games, the role playing source
there
books,
we go.
You get loads of little stories. And, you know, there's... So there's a short story called, from the Last Command source book called Not What He Expected, which shows Sebworth, and this must be around the time that he's gone a bit rogue from Thrawn, like he does towards the end of a trilogy. So he basically lands on Wayland, goes to Mount Tantus, and uses mind control to get the Imperial Colonel there to relinquish command to him. So he's taken over now.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you remember that he wanted to become the new Emperor by the end of a trilogy?
Yeah.
Because he'd gone a bit rogue.
Yeah.
But the point I was making about the Guardian, like you said, what if Omega is stuck there for 20 years? Looking after it. And then someone else has to come along and kill her.
But why would she... Why would she guard... Why would she become a guardian of this place?
To stop its secrets... being found by anyone else?
But then would Sebioth come? I mean, is the assumption that Sebioth was created... He wasn't created in here, or was he? In Mount Tantus.
I think that's what we can presume.
So...
I don't... He doesn't remember, because he thinks he's the original.
Right. So he... But we can assume that he was created here... Maybe he, once he gained sentience or something, he killed the Guardian, but so he didn't just come back. He just like woke up, killed the Guardian, and then he stays there, hanging out, I guess, until Thrawn finds him, right? Is that it? But there's also like the inhabitants of the planet, Wayland, that weren't they all kind of like afraid of him or something too?
Yeah, and in the books, again, it's one of the points in that, you know, they've kind of enslaved the population
right.
to work for them, you know, a very empire thing to do. But we need to kind of focus on not just the cloning facilities, and it's very specific in that there's 20,000 Sparty cloning tubes in this facility. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite as many as Kamino,
right.
But it's a lot. But like I said, it's also where the Emperor keeps all his stuff. Now, there's another great short story in the Last Command source book where this architect, you'll relate to this.
There you go. Okay.
There's this architect guy, and he's walking around, you know, he's made this massive labyrinth that leads into a massive chamber, and he's proud of it. It's his life's work. Uh-huh. And he's showing the patron around, you know, the guy who's paid him to do this. He's like, look what it's going to do, you know, we've got these traps, we've got this, we've got that, you know, it's the safest place in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And this is under the main facility of Mount Tantus. So even less people know about the underground bit than they do about the actual facility. And at the end of the story, the patron is shown to be Palpatine, obviously.
Of course.
Who then kills this architect.
Yeah. So that no one else knows about
it. But also says... Doesn't matter. If I need you again, I'll just clone me a new one. But he's there. When he's looking around, just before Emperor kills him, he's internally monologuing. He's like, hold on, I recognize some of this stuff. He's like, are those lightsabers? Because obviously we're at a point where the Jedi have been wiped out you've gone through all that. And he's like, what are they lightsabers? And that's when Palpatine's like, Does the evil deed.
It would have been actually... I mean, the idea of just repeating, like, kind of disposable clones that you can just bring back up, like, you know, create and then dispose of. I mean, I guess that's what this...
Aren't they disposable by default?
No, I know, but what I was getting at, Trev, is that like you can create this sort of a loop story where instead of that architect or that character, whatever, like realizing or noticing the lightsabers, if the whole story was told in this kind of horror story, like they're like, wait. And then that's when he starts realizing that he's seen all these hallways and corridors before. And he's like, wait a minute. Like, I know this place. I know these walls. I know this thing. And he's like, and then he kills him. He gets killed. Because, like, I can always bring it, make another one. And it's just like, it's the same dude that keeps being brought back on. Like, this is, like, iteration 150 of this, like, architect or this builder that has been doing this, like, for decades.
So every time Palpatine decides he needs a new wing.
Yeah,
or
he just brings...
You know, he just wants to redecorate.
Exactly. And then it's just, like, you make another one. And then, but it's, like, if it was told from that point of view like that, or just, like, I can just see it, right? Where it's, like... This, you think it's just, you know, I assume this is what the story is like, but just twisting it up, making it slightly darker, where it's like, nah, this guy has been doing the same job for this many years. He just keeps getting killed off and bring back a new one so he doesn't know, because they're just brought back, hey, I just need a new wall. Okay, like, create a new clone, kill it, done. And then it's just like, they never really know. Until they start catching up, and that's when they get killed off.
I mean, Palpatine does have history with that. One of the main designers of the Death Star, mm-hmm. the original Death Star in Legends, Bevel Lemasek. Again, one of those words I've never had to say out loud before. Probably made a right picture of that. He was killed dozens of times by Palpatine in various ways and always recloned.
That's amazing. No, I mean, not amazing, but yeah, no, but like. There's just a lot of potential in that kind of storytelling too, but I'm also like, if this keeps going in this direction that we're speculating, right, and they're bringing more things into canon now with Thrawn being back into play, if, like, let's say that Omega does become this guardian protecting whatever's inside from, you know, I mean, at the same time, why don't you just blow it up? If you don't want anyone to get those secrets, just blow the whole thing up. Right, but whatever. For some reason, she feels that the best way to take care or handle this cloning facility is to guard it instead of destroying it, right?
To be fair, actually, you know, on reflection, that it doesn't wash, does it? Because the Emperor's not going to let anybody else have Mount Tantus.
Right. But... let's just, I mean...
So I think we can assume that that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, because, like, what I was thinking is that it also becomes a very horror story type of, you know, story if all this time... Like, imagine this. Like, we have this new episode of... Maybe it is the next season of Ahsoka or whatever. But we have this garden, this, like, you know, in this cavern, this, like, base. And we see that they're kind of a little... feral, because they've been there on their own for like 2 decades, 3 decades, whatever, right? And they're just like guarding it, just making sure, but they don't talk to anyone. So it's a little bit of like Rey's intro, where, you know, she's out there on her own, but it's but a little more, okay, more feral. And then you hear a sound coming from inside, right? So it's like, hold up, the danger's not out there coming in. It's already locked up inside with you.
I mean, well, if they're cloning baby Godzillas.
Well, there's also that, but I'm thinking just even the Sebaioth thing, right? So, like, what if one of these clones, one of these things inside that you thought you were protecting from whatever was outside, the actual, you're locked inside with it. And then there's this whole story about, like, this creature or this mad clone that just gained consciousness and now it just got out. And then, there's so much in there that, I mean, it could be really, really cool, because just with a lot of, like, dark corridors, there's just, like, very little dialogue. It's just about the mood and just feeling, like, the tension that you can build up from that kind of narrative would be really, really cool.
Okay, but there's also one connection that you haven't made yet.
Okay. What's that?
So, we've talked about the importance of Omega.
Yes.
Or the mystery of Omega. And we don't know why she's so important. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Sebaioth.
Yes.
Now, what was Sebaioth?
Well, isn't he a clone of Palpatine?
Well, no, he's a cloned Jedi.
Cloned Jedi, sorry, yes. Yeah, no, that, yeah.
He's a cloned... He's a cloned Force-sensitive Jedi.
Yes.
He's a clone that can use the Force.
So you're saying that...
We haven't seen cloned Jedi or clones, you know, who are Force-sensitive. At this point in time, we don't know if it's possible to clone Jedi.
Presumably...
If Palpatine learns how to do that, and they're working for him...
Right. Well, I mean, presumably that's also... That's where we've been going with the Mandalorian. And why they need Grogu. To still learn how to clone... How to use that to clone Force powers, right?
But then who do we also see in the teaser trailer for season 3 of The Bad Batch?
Oh, Asajj Ventress?
Yes.
So that's...
Who's supposed to be dead?
Yes. So are you saying that... So, I mean, you're bringing it back to the actual Bad Batch. So you're saying that because the cloning facility, that Asajj is the other or a clone
Force user. I think she could be a clone. As opposed to resurrected by Dathomir Night Sister Magic.
Why would they bring her back?
So the thing about Palpatine in Legends is that, yes, he killed all the Jedi. Yes, there's a rule of two. He's got himself and Darth Vader. But he had a lot of Dark Jedi underlings. Like, a lot of them.
Yeah, but he did...
Because they're quite lethal.
Yeah, but he didn't...
Quite handy to have.
But out of all the Dark Jedi or whatever, like, why Asajj? Like, he didn't approve of her. Asajj was a Jedi, you know... Dooku hired her... And he was sort of like training her because he was kind of had his own plans to possibly be able to. I mean, this has always been my assumption that I don't know if I'm just adding my own thing in here or if this was actually written as such. But my assumption was that he had his own plans that maybe eventually he could kill Palpatine, and then the rule of two would be him and Ventress. Like, that's what he was preparing for. And then that's when Palpatine realizes this, right? He's like, well, no, you cannot just have your own, like, apprentice. You're my apprentice.
Yep, I get where you're going
with
that. So
then why would Palpatine decide to bring her back?
Yeah, but remember, Thrawn cloned Luke.
Yes.
That wasn't a direct copy of Luke with Luke's thoughts. That was a copy of Luke's body and abilities, who was working for Thrawn.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just like any...
You're not cloning the person, really. You're cloning the genetic material.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's an odd choice. I'm just saying, like, specifically, like, there's a bunch of dead Jedi. There's a bunch of dead, like, Force users. I mean, I'm happy that Asajj is coming back, but why her specifically when we know that Palpatine or kind of had an issue with her in the first place, and not bring back like any other person, any other like being that was capable of using the Force?
Maybe that's just is a twisted sense of humor.
Maybe. Or what, you know, I mean, we know he's also preparing to, like, we assume that he's been cloning himself too. Why wouldn't he just have a whole army of clone pulps? Like, Palpatine's around. Like,
I think he's quite a jealous person. I don't think he'd be able to handle that.
I mean, he was preparing for to clone himself, though, right? I mean, that's the assumption. The thing that we see, the Palpatine that we see in The Rise of Skywalker is a clone. I mean, Rey's father is a clone of Palpatine. So,
yes,
he has been cloning himself. He just hasn't been successful in making it stable enough to hold all the midichlorians or have a high enough M count or whatever you want to call it nowadays. So,
but I think this is where we will get to the point now in season 3 where we get some of these little threads from Mando and Rise of Skywalker all kind of coming together a little bit.
No, that's super exciting. Yeah.
But I want to touch on some other bits and pieces, some other random stories that you... I know Jose definitely won't have heard of. So we know that Thrawn cloned Luke.
Yes.
But how did he get the genetic material to clone Luke?
The hand?
Yes, the hand. So
wait, that's correct, right?
Actually, yes. That is okay. Correct, yes.
I'm like, I thought it was a trick question, and I'm like, well, God, it has to be the hand. But then it's like, okay, yeah, the hand.
But there's a whole short story that covers this from Star Wars Galaxy Magazine, number 11, written by Peter Schweighofer, which is all about Vader bringing the hand and the lightsaber to the Emperor on Mount Tantus. Mm-hmm. With Mara Jade there as well, just for kicks.
So Vader found the hand.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, now you're testing me. There's another short story in another West End Games source book, which is probably Galaxy Guide. It's Galaxy Guide, The Empire Strikes Back, which I'm going to say is number 3, Galaxy Guide 3, which is all about the Ugnaughts finding the lightsaber in a pile of trash and someone having to come and get it.
Wait, so what you're saying then, that so Vader would have known of Mount Tantus then? It's not just Thrawn, if he brought the hand there.
Okay. Well, maybe Vader knew about it. Vader and Palpatine.
Wouldn't it be so...
Not many people knew about it.
Wouldn't it be so cute if, like, Vader brought the hand there because he's like, maybe I can create another son that will listen to me. And that is the genesis of Luke. It's just sad. It really was Vader. He's like, hey guys, like, so I had a son and he, like, we had a fight and because he didn't want to join me, but can maybe you make another one and maybe just making it a little darker that, and he can be my, you know, then we can play catch together. Like, I don't know why that's Darth Vader's voice, but. That's it might.
I mean, because his vocal cords are really badly burned.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's so that's my headcanon of where Luke came from, and then it was Thrawn who's like, "Wait, what? Darth? Really? Like, you're just making a clone just so that you can play with him? Like, you could do so much more with another Luke. Like, we can have him fight Luke, and Vader is like, no, but I really just wanted to be able to have a chance to raise my son." And they're like, oh, I liked you better when you were just Anakin. This version of you is like, it's so, no, like, dude, stop. Like, yeah, that's what happened.
So, yeah, I'm not convinced by that. I'm not entirely sure that's right. But I want to talk a little bit about the history of Mount Tantus, because it wasn't even Palpatine's to begin with. So there's a really obscure...
Okay.
Novella by Abel G. Penner called Skywalker's A Clone Wars Story. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this once or twice on the show.
Yes.
It used to be on the official site. I'm not sure if it's still there. It's a retcon banquet for anybody who's read like all the Marvel stuff and all this and that, you know. This ties so many things together. But it basically kind of hinges around what they call a genetic terrorist called Zeta Magnus. And he's basically a crazy scientist. He has the lab on Mount Tantus.
Oh.
But when he starts working for Sidious, he gives him access to it.
Oh.
And then obviously when he dies, Palpatine gets to take it over. There's a short story called The Hero of Kartow, which was published in Star Wars Insider magazine. That has a tenuous link regarding how the cloning facilities ended up in Mount Tantus.
Yeah.
Kind of one of Palpatine's underlings, Kinmon Doriana, he makes it look like the Republic attacks some other clone facility while secretly trashing half of their stuff and then sneaking the rest of it off to Mount Tantus. And Dooku was using it in Yoda Dark Rendezvous. He was using it to make some droids by cloning a certain type of eel.
What? Okay. An eel?
Yeah. Yeah.
An electric eel, I assume, because it's for droids?
I mean, it was part of a big ploy, really, where the Jedi had to stop these potentially Force-sensitive, really lethal droids. But then it was all just a distraction, a deception, because the droids couldn't be mass-produced. They weren't actually that good. But it tied the Jedi up somewhere for a while, which is what, you know, that's what most of the Clone Wars was about. Right. That kind of stalemate.
Yeah.
Stalemate orchestrated by Palpatine.
It's distraction from what was really going on.
So, yeah, so there's a number of ways the Bad Batch could go with this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. So I guess it was heavily used during the Empire. Remind me how Bad Batch would be, how much time after Order 66? Like, currently,
I think
where we're
still
at.
Within, like, we're still within the first year.
Oh, wow.
Or a year's passing. So I know we've tipped over, or I believe we've tipped over into 18 BBY.
Okay.
But I think we're still within the first year since Empire Day.
Okay. So a year or two after...
Because we've had those old plots about stormtroopers coming in and replacing the clones. Okay. And all of that sort of stuff.
So then that's that. Okay. And then when is the last episode of Rebels?
One BBY or two BBY? I'm the timeline guy. I should know this off the top of my head, but it's been a long time since
I was
Yeah.
So, but essentially, so it's about 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, it's before Rogue One and New Hope, so it's around that time.
So if it's 15 to 20, so then so what we're seeing in Bad Batch are possibly the early days of Mount Tantus. Dooku is not a thing yet. No, he was.
I mean,
he's
dead.
It's
very quick, isn't it? Yeah. If we're still in the first year,
yeah,
that this facility has only just been set up in a year, you've got to imagine that maybe Palpatine that always had it, or maybe
So that's what I'm...
it was there under Dooku's watch, so, you know, Palpatine wasn't connected.
Yeah, I'm just sort of, yeah, I'm doing the math on this while we're recording, so maybe not the smartest thing to do, not the most entertaining thing, but so we have the prequels, and we have Bad Batch, because that means that Thrawn, there's a 15 to 20 year period between what we're seeing right now and you know, we've got all the Rebels before Thrawn disappears. As far as we know, Thrawn at this moment in time in Bad Batch, he hasn't been found by the Empire yet in that island, in that planet, right? So, that would also actually... wouldn't that be cool if in this season of the Bad Batch they also brought that in? Like, we see the long-haired Thrawn in, like, alone in that planet, and just, like, and then he gets introduced to Mount Tantus?
No, the timeline's completely out. That's...
why?
For them.
Why can it not happen?
Because that doesn't happen until, sort of, 14 BBY.
Are you sure?
Yes, after not being sure about Rebels, I opened the timeline, so yes, I'm sure.
So, well, but it could be. I mean, they could change things now. They're creating a lot of these things.
But this is what I'd like to see
in
the Bad Batch. I'd like to see, like, some real sort of dark side experiments.
Yeah, I
some real Sith alchemy going on there.
That would be really cool.
Down in the labyrinth.
I'm gonna say that I don't... I mean, I like your idea of why Ventress is back, because it kind of, you know, it's a neat little way to, or a neat way to not have to say, oh, she never really died. It's the same like Darth. You know, they already did that with Darth Maul, and they just can't keep doing that with everyone. But in a place where you can clone, it's like, yeah, no one's ever really fully dead, I guess. But the one, or why I feel like it doesn't work out as well, is because I feel like for everything in the sequel trilogy to work out best, and with everything that we're seeing in Mando, I don't feel like the Empire has figured out how to contain
how to successfully do it.
Unless
maybe they haven't. Yeah. Maybe she's completely insane.
Maybe she's insane, and maybe she only lasts for a little bit, right? So maybe that's true. Maybe that's how they can make it still work. But I feel like the idea is that if this is happening in 18 BBY, so then there's 3 decades between that and where we are in Mando and Ahsoka, and they're still trying to figure out how to clone with Force powers, so that then it all works out to have Palpatine that's falling apart in Rise of Skywalker because he's on an unstable clone. Like, there's all, like, they have, yeah, I mean, it's all that time has passed. They still haven't done a successful, like, Force powered clone up until the episode 9.
Maybe her midichlorian count's just not that high.
Omegas? Oh, you mean Asajj?
Asajj.
Yeah, I guess like Rey's dad is like he seems stable enough.
He's normal.
He just he has no midichlorians, but he seems stable. He was able to procreate. He was able to have a daughter. So yeah. You know, this is why like Rey is not Palpatine's granddaughter, as a lot of people tend to say. She is genetically Palpatine's daughter. But I mean, it is. Rey's father is a clone. He will be genetically equal to Palpatine. Therefore, she is only one strand down from Palpatine. So she is Palpatine's daughter, not granddaughter. So,
yeah, I don't think that's going to take on.
Hey, but it's true. It's actually true. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot more to Mount Tantus that, I mean, could be explored in this season, but now I kind of want it all to happen.
Yeah, so I don't think we've solved any mysteries, but hopefully we've given you a bit of food for thought.
Yeah, and, you know, if you have already been watching the Bad Batch, then you might have some more idea of where this is all going, and you can tell us on the Discord how wrong we were or how correct we were to be saying some of these things or getting you excited, because hopefully, do you know how many episodes we're getting? They had a whole release, right, schedule?
Yes, but I do not know off the top of my head.
Well, season...
I imagine it's 16, same as the last
That's what I assume, too. So, yeah, I mean, this is still early enough that you'll still be able to enjoy... There still might be more questions about Mount Tantus, because when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this live, if this is after all episodes have aired when you're listening to it, then, yeah, hopefully we were not that wrong. But that's what happens when you try to anticipate and make... wild projections like we have. Like I did in the last episode, no, 2 episodes ago, when I tried to tell you what was happening.
Predict the rest of the Jedi Prince.
And how right I was, not very. But it was fun. all right, Trev. Is that it for Mount Tantus? Anything that we're missing? Anything that we want to talk about?
That's all you've got. You know, it pops up in a few stories here and there later on in the timeline. Mm-hmm. But they're not really relevant to the connections that we were trying to make.
Yeah. So, listeners, let us know how wrong we were. Go to Discord, where we had, if you go on the left-hand side of that program, there's all these channels, and there's a bunch of channels. And one of them is called the Star Wars Archives. And that, as you can imagine, that is where we talk. And that's where you can talk about stuff that happens in our show. I mean, there's a bunch... Definitely talk in the other channels too, but talk in ours, and you can tell us there how wrong or correct we were, or yeah, whatever you want. Just yeah, you can talk to us through that. If not through that, Trev, where can people also talk to us?
So I am at Davey Todd on Twitter and Substack, and we are at SW Archives Pod on Twitter and Instagram, I believe.
Yes, and I am at The Joxie on Twitter. That is THEJOXIII. And yeah, I think that's that's about it for today. So thank you, Trev, for making me find out real time why we were talking about this topic today, even though you had told me, and then I just didn't realize that there was going to be that much more. So thank you for making me sound really stupid today. Thank you to all of our Patreon members for supporting us making this show possible, and thank you, listeners, for continuing to hear us talk about anything and everything Star Wars. And with that, I can now say radio out.
There is no hatred. There is joy. There is no division. There is union. There is no apathy. There is passion. There is no gatekeeping. There is community. This is the Youtini Star Wars Fan Code. Embrace it. Live by it. And above all, trust in the living force. That's all for this week. Join our community and surround yourself with like-minded fans by visiting us online at youtini.com. Until next time, may the Force be with you.